Hey y'all, I'm Elisa.
And I'm Samantha.
And welcome to Watch for Deer Podcast. We're a couple of best friends from Southern West Virginia, and around here, Watch for Deer is our way of saying we love you and be safe.
This is a conversational podcast that covers many topics from A to Z, including, but not limited to, true crime and the paranormal. Our goal is to bring you an episode a week, so come listen as we tell stories that will make you laugh and maybe even blow your mind. Y'all be safe
and watch for deer.
Mountain State Mysteries contains mature themes and discussions that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. All individuals mentioned in this episode are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Hey y'all, I'm your host Mark Covey.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Mountain State Mysteries. The case we have for you today is one of the craziest missing children cases to come from the Mountain State. It's about a 5-year-old boy who went into the woods with his cousins and sadly was never seen again. This is the case of Victor Shoemaker Jr. On Sunday, March 1st, 1994, 5-year-old Victor Shoemaker Jr. and his family got together for a reunion. His family gathered on the outskirts of Short Mountain.
I feel like I've kind of heard about Short Mountain, but still not 100% sure where it is.
It's near Kirby, which is in Hampshire County. They arrived in a caravan in an area which was a popular hunting ground.
So was it a random area?
No, it was actually land owned by Victor's grandfather, Oscar Butch Wilfred. How I took it is that the land was kind of like a hunting camp for the family, and I guess it was just big enough for everyone to meet up instead of like someone's home.
No, that makes teetotal sense. It really does.
It really does, because I mean, if you think about it, nannies for everything, we built that thing in the backyard. So I mean, no one was like really in the house. So with it being like an ideal spring morning, Victor joined his two cousins, 8-year-old Lloyd Wilfred and 9-year-old Tommy Martin. The three of them set out to explore the woods. They did have their BB guns, something that, you know, the cousins regularly did. Victor loved exploring the woods. His grandfather said that he loved climbing trees and playing in the creek.
From what I'm gathering, they like to go all over the mountain, and possibly did they go all over the mountain?
They do love the mountain, but they were actually restricted to a certain area so their parents could, you know, keep an eye on them, which is honestly really, really smart.
Yeah, that makes sense. Victor Shoemaker Sr. was an apartment maintenance man in Leesburg, and his mother, Nettie, was employed as an assembly line worker at the electronics plant in Loudon. The couple had experienced trouble conceiving, and once they had Victor on March 30th, 1989, naturally, they became really protective over him. According to Lloyd and Tommy, at 8:30 a.m., after being outside for around 30 minutes, their younger cousin complained about being hungry. He then allegedly made his way back through the woods towards the trailer in order to get a snack. However, this would be the last time Tommy or Lloyd ever seen Victor.
Hey y'all, I'm Dan. And I host a podcast called Kinfolk, Stories of Community and Connection. I talk with folks from all over Appalachia, artists, small business owners, local legends, you name it. We share real stories about what brings us together, what keeps us going, and all the magic tucked away in these hills. If you're into small town charm, big hearts, and good conversation, come hang out with me on Kinfolk. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy and Lloyd returned to the cabin with Nettie greeting them, and her heart sank when she saw Victor wasn't with them and that their heads were down staring at the ground. She asked them about the whereabouts of Victor. They could only say that he was up in the woods. They said that he had parted ways at a certain area within the woods. However, this was found to be incorrect and the family wasted time searching in the wrong place. After an hour waiting for Victor to return, they called the authorities and notified them about his disappearance. One thing I have to say is that his disappearance was a complete shock and mystery to his family, for the simple fact that he knew his way around the woods. This was the first time that he never made his way back to the trailer. It's been said that he was very smart and a strong young boy. His family said that he had a very good sense of direction.
I mean, just from what you've just been saying and everything, I mean, it does make it sound really weird for him to be able to get lost.
Exactly. I mean, he grew up playing in the woods like most people from West Virginia do, so it really just doesn't make any sense. Especially if they only had a certain area that they could go in. Because of this, his mom was anxious that he may have been taken by a stranger. Once the police got there, they joined the search.
So, did Tommy and Lloyd help?
They did. They pointed out the exact place where they had last seen their cousin. Every single member of the family was subjected to a background check, and they also took polygraph tests. Tommy and Lloyd were given play therapy as well as a lie detector test just in hopes that it could answer some questions.
Did they pass?
They did, and they were cleared of blame by investigators, though Victor's parents remained suspicious about what they knew.
Can we just say, I hate lie detectors.
Oh, I hate lie detectors and polygraphs because, I mean, they're admissible in court. Like, I don't know why we still use them.
Do you know we have it in our contract that no employee will ever have to take a lie detector test?
No.
Yes, it is in our contract.
Oh, that shows you how much I look at it. But yeah, I never knew that.
Yeah, just random. I mean, I hate lie detector tests and things like that. I mean, this is just, It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, did anything the boys say stand out?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because one of the boys did say that someone was hiding behind a tree, got up and grabbed him or shot him.
Okay, now I'm even more confused.
Right?
Because, I mean, if he was within the area that they said he was in, Would nobody hear Victor screaming or even more than that, a gunshot?
Apparently not. And, like, what gets me is that there were so many people searching. One, there was no trace of Victor. And, you know, his dad kept asking police for updates, and he got zero, like, nothing. So the search continued for another day with the Assembly of God Church in Kirby serving as a 24-hour command center, with the local McDonald's sending food and drinks to the volunteers.
Can we applaud that really quick? Because that does not happen a lot anymore.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, that is amazing that they were keeping them fed, that the church opened up to let them be a sinner and things of that nature. Amazing.
Yeah. In court, by the fifth day, more than 400 volunteers from West Virginia, Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C. were all on Short Mountain searching.
Simply amazing. I wish more people would do that.
Same.
And I love the fact that they came from everywhere to help.
They really did, which is awesome for the area because, I mean, from how I take it, Kirby is a really small town.
Had they said who was over the search?
From what I've seen in my research, it was a Charlottesville-based Appalachian search and rescue. And, I mean, they searched hundreds of acres of land.
So, who all was out searching Short Mountain?
You had volunteers, state police, dogs, and helicopters, which they all combed the rugged forest terrain.
So, a helicopter went out to help.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
It is. And, you know, it's something you never really see, which I think the only other case that we've had helicopter search was Margie Dodd.
I do believe
possibly so. The West Virginia co-eds. I would say it would be those two cases, if I'm remembering off the top of my head. But they used the helicopter because it had heat detection equipment on it, because they wanted to get like an aerial view to see if they could find him from the sky due to all of the rugged terrain in the area.
And being West Virginia, we know how it is, especially like on mountains and things of that nature. A lot of people still have farms and all that. I'm just curious, did they check rivers? Did they check ponds in the area?
They did, and they had divers, but sadly nothing came out of the search of the creeks, rivers, ponds, whatever. There was nothing. 5 months after his disappearance, the National Guard and Army Reserve units sent training teams searching for Victor. Their first search around Short Mountain happened in the rain and mist, which proved to be fruitless, and on May 3rd, the search was called off.
Why would they call the search off?
A volunteer named Lisa Hannon died after falling asleep behind the wheel of her vehicle following the night of searching in the woods.
That is absolutely awful.
It really is. Like, I absolutely hate that. So Nettie, Victor's mom, was convinced that Tommy and Lloyd were hiding something. I mean, how could you not be convinced of that?
Exactly. I mean, just knowing how kids are, especially if something happened, you're going to get nervous, you're going to start covering up and things of that nature instead of just telling. And I just don't comprehend how he left. And I'm going to say probably this play area wasn't far from where, especially if they considered it in the area near the trailer and everything, I just don't see it being that far off to where he couldn't have made it back safely and them to not know something that was going on. If I make any type of sense on that.
Oh, trust me, you make complete sense. I mean, when they arrived back to the trailer, they were somewhat out of sorts, which to me, kind of like they either saw something, they knew what happened, they did something. Like, I don't want to point fingers because, I mean, they were kids. But, I mean, you know, you kind of have to in this situation.
Exactly.
While speaking with the Virginian pilot in December of 1994, she said, quote, "I still say the boys know something. I'm not saying they're guilty of anything. I'm saying they have to know something," end quote.
And I completely agree with that. They do have to know something.
1,000%.
Nettie remembers her son as someone who loves SpaghettiOs, hot dogs, and iced tea. A sweet little Southern boy at that.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh. I love iced tea. I know you're not a tea drinker at all, but I love my iced tea. He loved drawing and cutting up boxes to create forts. She said, quote, "Everything runs through your mind from daylight to dark. You never stop thinking. We don't sleep. You cry yourself to sleep. We've been on that mountain with a fine-tooth comb. We never find a piece of hair, a shoe, a footprint, nothing. And it rained that night. Nothing makes sense," end quote.
His dad said, quote, "I would just like to have him home right now. That's it," end quote. I mean, you can tell this is hard on his parents. I mean, for any parent, it would be.
It is something I can only begin to imagine what they went through. And I wouldn't want that on anybody.
No, and what's worse is some of the theories that came out during all of this. Are you ready to run through them, Court?
I guess I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be.
So the first is accidental death while lost in the woods. I mean, dense, rugged terrain, it would be difficult for a 5-year-old to navigate alone, and no signs were found to rule this out. Because a body could have been found, well, I mean, at least partially. I mean, you would have nature. And if it rained, I mean, could have been mudslide. Could have, I mean, you're on a mountain. There would leaves. You could have fallen in a crack. I mean, you know, it's kind of like anything could happen.
But it said that he knew the woods.
Exactly.
He knows those terrains. Yeah. I mean,
to me, it would have to be like a freak accident.
Absolutely. It would have to be a freak accident. But I mean, the fact that accidental death, I mean, I just,
it makes no sense.
It doesn't. And just from way everything sounds, this sounds like a family that is protective over the children, and they are not going to send them out into an area
exactly
that would be dangerous. And how could a 5-year-old get hurt, but the other ones were 7, 9, 8, 9 and they made it back perfectly fine?
Exactly. Theory two is that he was abducted by a stranger.
Excuse me.
So there was a dark blue pickup truck, which I'll touch on later, that was seen in the area. However, with no witness accounts, no suspects, no evidence that an abduction even occurred, this one seemed a bit much for me.
I agree, especially being on property that his grandfather had up there, being a whole family being up there, and you're telling me that allegedly somebody came up there, abducted him, and nobody seen a truck.
Exactly. Nobody. And to me, I mean, around here, trucks are noisy. I don't know if Short Mountain is one way in, one way out, if there's other ways to go. So, I mean, this one just seems so far-fetched to me.
This one is very far-fetched.
Yeah, but
I mean, plain and simple.
I feel like you also can't rule it out, because, I mean, who knows?
True, but at the same time, too, I just, knowing how it is in West Virginia and things of that nature, knowing how some people are, if you're turning around in their driveway, things of that nature, hey, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Hey, buddy, we took a wrong turn. We're just trying to get out, and things of that nature. Yeah. I just,
and I mean, if you abducted a kid, they're going to be screaming.
So. Exactly. Especially with somebody that they did not know.
Yeah. But if he knew him,
that would be a different story.
Yeah, let's play hide and seek, you know, 5 years old. Okay.
Hi, I'm Shane.
I'm Hannah.
And we're Country Roads Creeps. We're a podcast that covers all manner of creepy, spooky stories, from cryptids and conspiracies to unexplained deaths and disappearances to mysterious and paranormal happenings in the world.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Check out our Facebook page and our Instagram account at Country Roads Creeps for photo dumps and more information we'll post with every episode.
If you enjoy the show, please feel free to share us with your friends and leave us a 5-star review. And if there's any topics that you'd like to hear us cover in the future, feel free to message us on our social media accounts. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, be safe driving home and watch out for the not deer.
Bye.
Bye.
The third theory is that a family member or cousin was involved. I mean, his cousins were the last to see him. Investigators interviewed and tested them. There was no evidence that caused any harm, but this didn't stop rumors and speculation online.
This right here, oddly, is the theory I could get behind.
Same, especially because they had BB guns.
Well, I mean,
I know a BB gun probably isn't going to do anything.
I mean, getting shot by a BB gun, random story. I went out on a date with this guy one time. I can't believe I have never told you this story. No. I was out on a date with this guy one time, and we went to, like, his friend's apartment with his girlfriend or something like that. And we were sitting around and the two idiots decided to start shooting a BB gun in the house. And like, these were grown men, like hollering around getting shot. And the one almost got shot in the eye. I mean, like, it was absolutely insane. And I was like, what the kind of date am I on at this given moment? Like, completely random. And I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work. And I told him, I said, if one of y'all shoot me, I said, it's on. I said, it's on. But yeah. But I mean, with a BB gun and things of that nature, I don't see it unless they would have hit him in the head with a handle or something of that nature. But even at that point,
I mean,
I just
8 and 9 year old,
like, they would be screaming from how hard that would hit.
Yeah, and I don't think they would have the strength really to like hit someone that hard. I mean, they might.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, just, this is a theory I can buy into more than a stranger abducting him.
Same.
A freak accident, things of that nature. I mean, there could be jealousy. I mean, from the cousins that he was the baby, yeah, you know, and things of that nature. There could be major jealousy, things of that nature stuff. I mean, it's just, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
Nothing about this case makes sense.
No. The fourth theory is that he was a victim of a wild animal attack. I mean, with the dense forest that comes with wildlife. So, I mean, this is plausible, but there's still no physical traces.
Honestly, with this one too, I don't see this one happening. Yeah. I mean,
and I mean, there was no sign of like a wild animal attack either.
No, and especially if the mom was saying that it rained that night before, the ground would be dense. Mm-hmm. And everything, because really at that point in time, we didn't have a lot of droughts. Mm-hmm. Things of that nature. So the ground would be good, wet, marshy, things of that nature. There would be footprints, there would be animal prints. And if an animal did attack, again, you would hear the child screaming.
100%. And the last theory is that he hid from searchers.
Why would he hide?
So from what I've seen, it's something called behavioral theory. Some lost children just hide from people. But with this, there's still no signs or signals in the initial search. In the summer of 1994, following Nettie's suspicion of Tommy and Lloyd, the Shoemaker family and their extended family cut ties.
I can see that.
Same. I mean, it would be so hard. And, you know, thinking, you know, if I would be in this situation, I would definitely be feeling the same.
I mean, I just, you would have, of course, their parents would take their children's side. Mm-hmm. Again, it all reverts back. They are the last two people. Mm-hmm. If something was wrong, or they were in, why didn't they say, oh my God, somebody just took Victor? You know, why were they not saying that?
Exactly. Like, I just,
oh my God, an animal hurt him. Mm-hmm. Come help.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. I mean, it just, stuff in this doesn't make sense. And before anybody's like, well, kids won't do that. Folks, there have been plenty of kids in prison for killing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just put that out there. Another life lesson. Don't ever rule out children.
Although authorities said that they didn't suspect foul play in the case, but they did call in the FBI, which to me makes them think that maybe foul play was involved. In 1997, police released information about the sighting of the 1990 blue pickup truck I talked about in the theories. They basically said that it was seen in the area around the time Victor disappeared, yet the driver of this truck has never been identified.
Did the boys even see the truck? Did the family see the truck? so many questions on this. Somebody would have had to seen the truck.
I wish I had the answers for you, but sadly, I'm not sure if anyone saw this truck. It honestly could have been someone else on the mountain that day. I mean, who knows? It could have been a family member. I mean, who knows? In 2014, authorities announced that they had exhausted all leads, leaving the case cold.
Now the trailer on Short Mountain is abandoned. Every weekend after their son's disappearance, the Shoemakers returned to the site, just hoping they could find the answers. Nettie said, quote, "Every time you go back, you feel close to him," end quote. Sadly, no arrests were ever made. From my research, police had no suspects. There have been two age progression photos released. One of what he could look like at 18 and what he could have looked like at 24. However, as of today, there have been no new clues.
On the 20th anniversary, Nettie and Victor talked to the Washington Times. They said that his bedroom remains the same as he left it before he disappeared. The two remain hopeful that someone will come forward with information that will lead to the truth as to what happened to their son.
If you have any information on the disappearance of Victor Shoemaker Jr., you can contact the West Virginia State Police at 304-822-3561.
We'll be back next week with a new case. If you find yourself enjoying Mountain State Mysteries, take a second to follow, download, and rate the show on your favorite podcast platform. It helps others find good West Virginia true crime podcasts.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, all at Mountain State Mysteries.
Do you have a case you want us to cover? Send us an email at mountainstatemysteries304@gmail.com.
For the show notes, check out our website, mountainstatemysteriespodcast.com.